Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. We're excited to be sharing the Word of God with you this Sunday morning. I'd like to start off by reading from Psalm 63 this morning. Psalm 63, starting in verse 1. You, God, are my God, David writes in the 63rd Psalm. And I love the Psalms because, boy, we can sure relate. And a lot of times I just feel myself right there with David or whoever might be writing that song. But here is a Psalm of David, Psalm 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I hope that's the way you feel about God. I hope God is not far off to you. I hope God is not someone that you think you can't ever get to know, or you think that you've been so bad that God would never want to have a relationship with you. That's not the case, friends. God loves us. We are His creation, and He has demonstrated His love toward us by sending His own Son to die on the cross for us. We're going to talk more about that this morning, but here's something that I want you to think about. David says, you, God, are my God. I want you to think about it. Is God your God? Can you say, God, you are my God? Not just some intellectual, theological discussion about God, but do you really believe that God exists? Because if you don't, or you're not sure, you need to make up your mind. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. Now, the reason you have to believe it is because you can't see Him. He's a spiritual being. He's not like us. He's our Creator. He made us in His image, spiritually, okay, with the ability to think and reason and understand that we are who we are as opposed to somebody else. God did so much in creating us. But only God is God. There's only one God. And David says, you, God, are my God. And I want to know if you can say that this morning. Can you say, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek for you. Do you? Those of you that don't know Him at all, maybe it's time that you say, hey, I need to earnestly seek after God and make up my mind about Him. Maybe you say, well, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Really? Why? Have you ever really looked into it? Or are you just going along with the bandwagon of friends or whoever? Don't let your eternal life rest on what somebody else thinks. You search these things out. You seek God. You earnestly look for Him and look for those answers, and you'll find Him. Jesus said, if anyone wants to know the truth, he'll find the truth, because that truth is in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so again, David says, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. I love verse 3. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Friend, if that's not the kind of life that you live before God, why not? You're missing out. And even those of us that are, we need to be careful that we don't just kind of let our salvation get ho-hum and humdrum and going through the motions. We need to be satisfied as with the richest of foods. We live in Las Vegas where there's tons of places to get all kinds of yummy food. But hey, our relationship with God should be way more satisfying than that. And the praise that comes from our mouth should be real and genuine. And all the time, through the good and the bad times. Not just treating God as some kind of fair weather friend. And so I hope as we start this broadcast this morning that you can say, oh God, you're my God. Earnestly, I seek you. Hey, we're going to listen to our first song this morning. This is by a group called Acapella, and they're going to sing He Bore It All. This is talking about what Jesus did for all of mankind on the cross and the purpose that God had in doing that. His amazing grace toward us as sinful people who have rebelled and rejected and disobeyed God. We so need a Savior, and Jesus is the one that bore our sin on that tree at Calvary so that we could be free, so that we could be followers of Jesus Christ, so that we could have everlasting life and not have to fear death. Let's listen to Acapella sing, He Bore It All.
He bore it all, that I might
in His presence, in my precious Savior suffered pain and agony. He bore it all,
He bore it all,
that I might live.
I think I did.
He broke the bonds of sin and set the captive free.
He bore it all,
that I might in His presence live. He bore it all,
Jesus,
that I might see His shining face.
He bore it
freely
all,
bore it all,
that I might
live. I with Him might live. I stood condemned, He took my place.
He bore it all,
that I might in His presence live. They placed a crown of thorns upon my Savior's head.
He bore it all,
that I might live.
I with Him might live.
My cruel man with spear, His side was pierced and bled.
He bore it all,
that I might in His presence live.
He bore it all,
that I might see His shining face.
He bore it
freely
all,
bore it all,
that I might
I with Him might live.
I
stood condemned, He took my place.
He bore it all,
that I might in His presence live. Up Calvary's hill in shame, the blessed Savior trod.
He bore it all,
that I might live.
I with Him might live.
Between two thieves they crucified the Son of God.
He bore it all,
that I might in His presence live.
He bore it
Jesus
all,
bore that I might see His shining face.
He bore it
freely
all,
bore it all,
that I might live.
I with Him might live.
I stood
condemned, Jesus took my place.
He bore it all,
that I might in His presence live.
He bore it
Jesus
all,
bore
that
it
I
all.
Might see His shining face.
He bore it
freely
all,
bore it all,
that I might
I with Him might live.
I stood condemned,
Jesus took my place.
He bore it all,
that I might live.
In His presence live.
All right, we're back this morning. What a great song, and I love how that chorus goes. He bore it all so that I might live. I'm looking forward to living forever. I don't know about you, but you know what? It just seems like time goes by way too fast here. And I'm not as old as other people, but I'm a lot older than I used to be. And I was walking down to the mechanic to get my sister's car on Thursday. And I was walking down there right about the time that all the junior high and high schools and everything were walking. And I was walking with all these kids. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, it's been a long time since I had to walk home from school. And just kind of made me realize how old I was getting. And yet, I guess I didn't feel too bad because this morning, my wife and I, Thursday morning, we walked the dog for a while, about a mile. And then it was about a mile and a half from the church or from down to raise up to the church building, and then another mile and a half to go back down there. And so somebody says, well, why didn't you call me? I would have come and picked you up. Hey, I enjoyed walking, so I'm glad I can still do that. Anyway, let's go over to Romans. Romans, last week we talked about Romans chapter 11, how important it is to realize that God is the God of the Jew and of the Gentile. And God made it possible for Jew and Gentile alike to be saved. Okay? It's not one or the other. God's plans and purposes in Christ was to take the Jew and the Gentile and make of them one man, one body, the church, the body of Jesus Christ. He's the head of that body, his kingdom. And so, you know, Jew under the first covenant needed to turn from that to Christ and accept Jesus as their Messiah. And they could be added into that body. Gentile, who didn't have all of the blessings and things that the Jew did from God, they also had to turn in faith to Jesus for their salvation. And many of those Jew and Gentile turned away from it. They mocked it. They scoffed at it. They felt like they didn't need it. But here's the thing, is that you can't establish your own righteousness. Okay, only God can do that for you. In fact, in Romans 10 and verse 3, it talks about the Jew. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Now, whether that's Jew or Gentile, it's the same problem. You can't establish your own righteousness. You're not good enough. Neither am I. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all violated our conscience that was clear and clean and innocent and pure at birth. And we have all, over a period of time, we have all gone against that. We've all, at one time or another, done, you know, a greater or lesser amount of sin. It doesn't really matter. Sin, once it happens, it separates us from a relationship with God. And there's only one way that that relationship can be restored, and that's through Jesus Christ. And so, remember in Romans chapter 11, it says in verse 22, consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. You see, God's grace is so amazing in that it gives us what we don't deserve. That's really what grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Not one of us deserves salvation. Not one of us. And the thing about it is, I'm sure there's some self-righteous people out there or otherwise who think, well, you know, if I don't, I come pretty close. Well, you're still admitting that if you don't. And even if you did, you know, way down deep in your soul, you violated your conscience. You violated your conscience, which God gave you, and say, well, I don't have a conscience anymore. It doesn't bother me at all. Well, that's because you've seared it. That's because you've gone against it so many times that it's no longer reliable for you. You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, so that your conscience will again work. The more we choose to go against our conscience, the harder and more seared it becomes. And instead of listening to God's will and God's way, we just want to conform to our own way or the way of the world around us. And so back in Romans chapter 3, it says in verse 19, after Paul has established by the Holy Spirit that no one is righteous. No, not one. There's no fear of God before those who reject him. And so in verse 19, it says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Now, obviously, that's the law of God on people's hearts. It was the law of Moses that the Israelites were under. It's the law of Christ under the new covenant that we're under now in this age. And so we need to recognize that law is there to point out our sinfulness. Law is there to let us know that, hey, you can't be good enough by keeping this, because sooner or later we're going to break the law. In the beginning, as we've said many times before, there was only one law. There was only one law. Don't eat of the fruit of that tree. And yet, Adam and Eve in a perfect situation and a perfectly sinless life still made the wrong choices. And so if they did, how much more will we with all of the very many more wickedness and ungodly things that are out there that we can choose to do and things that God has made laws against for our good. So it says that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. You see, ultimately, because God created us, because God gives us life and breath and everything else, we're accountable to God for our life. In other words, we need to say, hey, God, here's what we did with our life. How do you answer that? And I hope you can answer it well. And I hope you can answer it by recognizing God's amazing grace in there through Jesus Christ to you. Verse 20 of chapter 3 goes on to say, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works of law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. So when somebody says, hey, that's the law, you just broke it. Oops, guilty, you feel bad, you may have to pay a fine or consequence or whatever it might be. But the point is, and 3:20 sums up chapter 1, verse 18, all the way down through here, that no one will be declared righteous in God's sight through works of law. In other words, we can't earn it. We can't establish our own righteousness. We can't say, God, here's what I've done. It's good enough. No, it's not. And it never will be. The Bible, again, it says that all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. But here's where grace comes in. Verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement, or to cover our sin, through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. In other words, you can't earn, you can't go down to a church or a drugstore or anything else and say, hey, I want to buy a quart of Jesus' blood so I can get rid of my sin. It doesn't work that way. You can't say, okay, well, you know, if I do good enough for a period of time, then I will have merited enough of the blood of Christ to save me from my sins. No, that's not the way it works. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't do anything. You have to receive it by faith. You need to receive it the way God tells you to receive it. Because if you don't, then you're just standing on your own thoughts, your own opinions, your own ideas, or the ideas of someone else. The sacrifice of Christ must be received by faith. In other words, we have to trust that what Jesus did in bearing it all on the cross, right? We need to trust that that sacrifice is enough to save our souls. It's enough to say, hey, because Jesus did what he did, because he demonstrated his righteousness and his love to us in Jesus dying on the cross, then I'm going to demonstrate my righteousness by believing it, by trusting it, by making a decision after I've come to that decision to turn away from my sin, to stop running away from God and start drawing near to him, that I would repent of those things that I did against God and that I did against other people, that I would say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I need forgiveness. And to be able to say, hey, the only way I can have that is through Jesus Christ. That you'd be willing to, just like so many have done before you, confess the name of Jesus, that he is the Son of God that bore my sin on the cross so that I might live. Okay, we have to believe that. We have to confess that. We need to follow through with that in baptism. Jesus told his apostles to go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In other words, baptism is a response of faith in the grace of God. It's where we're buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. It's where we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's where our sins are washed away. It's where God raises us up to walk in newness of life. These are all figures that the Bible talks about. And so we need to be excited about the grace of God. And I want to ask you this morning this question. Hey, maybe you knew all the things that I just talked about. Maybe you know a whole lot more. Maybe you don't. But if I ask you this question, what is grace? Can you answer that question? What is God's grace? And what does that mean for you or for me, if you're asking yourself? What does that mean? God's grace is his undeserved, unmerited favor. In other words, you and I don't deserve his love. We don't merit his forgiveness. We haven't done anything to establish our own righteousness. We've all gone astray like sheep, the Bible says. We all have sinned. We've all done wickedly and unrighteously, whether it's just a little bit or a whole bunch. Jesus bore it all on the cross so that we might live. I hope you start to understand grace. Another way it's explained is God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, we can't be saved without the blood of Jesus. The Bible says there's no other name given to men under heaven by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus. And so we have to trust that and believe that and recognize that we can't be justified apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? And that's why Paul said over in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it's why he says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. But here's the point. Righteousness can't be gained through the law or any good deeds. It doesn't matter how many little old ladies you walk across the street. It doesn't matter how many doors you open. It doesn't matter how many dollar bills you give to the homeless person on the street. None of that can gain you righteousness. None of it. Or any other thing as well. The only thing that can save your soul is the grace of God. And you need to accept that by faith and then walk in that faith. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Otherwise, Christ died for nothing. Otherwise, one day you're going to stand before God and he's going to demand an account of your life. And you're going to be weighed in the scales, as it were, weighed in the balance, and it's not going to be a pretty picture because the wages of sin is death. And God will pay you those wages without Christ, without Christ's sacrifice, without God's grace in your life. The only thing you can look forward to is judgment and the wages of your sin, which is death. That's not a pretty picture. It doesn't have to be like that. David didn't think like that. Remember, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. Your love is better than life. It is. And so why wouldn't you pursue that? Friend, if you're not pursuing God through Jesus Christ right now, you need to rethink your life. You need to really think about what does tomorrow hold and what does eternity hold. I'll tell you, God holds out the word of life. He wants the whole world to hear about the good news that Jesus is the Son of God who loved us and gave himself up for us. Let's go ahead and listen to our last song this morning by Hillsong, a song called I Am Who You Say I Am, how we need to believe in the promises of God and stand on them. Let's listen.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the sun sets free. Who is free indeed. I'm a child. Ransomed me, His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the Son sets free, who is free indeed. I'm a child.
That's about all we're going to have time for today, folks. Thanks so much for listening. Hey, come visit us at the church at Las Vegas. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. Love to have you come and be our guest. You can find out more information about us online at thechurchatlasvegas.com or our Facebook page or even our Instagram. And so look for us, The Church at Las Vegas. And until next week, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God bless you as you earnestly seek Him this week.